Welcome back, everyone. It is now 10:07. If you are just joining us, you may be looking for the Mom and Michael Hour. However, my son is not in town in Los Angeles and is not able to be with us tonight, but he's looking forward to next Sunday, and I do hope you'll stick and stay with us. I am so excited, Jonathan, because this year of 2022 has been wow, right? I can't say that my heart hurts, but I can say that my head hurts. There were so many things that went wrong, not just in 2022, but in 2021 as well. But 2022, some of the successes that they mention in various articles and magazines, they're saying that there's a whole lot that we have as far as gaining, right? And a lot of people don't see it that way. So number one on the list is Latin America's pink tide. It grew. Continuing the wave of progressive wins in 2021, Latin America saw two new critical electoral victories, Gustavo Petro in Colombia and Luis Inácio Lula, I think it's called Lula da Silva in Brazil. Well, man, that's really a trip, that guy. Plus, when President Biden's June summit of the Americas excluded Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, several Latin American leaders declined to attend while others used the opportunity to push the United States to respect the sovereignty of the countries in the region. Number two, the U.S. labor movement caught fire. In 2022, we witnessed the brilliant organizing of Chris Smalls and the Amazon workers. Starbucks workers, they united. They reached nearly 7,000 members and unionized close to 300 stores. That's amazing. Requests to the National Labor Relations Board to hold union elections were up 58% in the first 8 months of 2022. So labor is back and fighting the good fight. I just hope that they don't lose all of this spark that they have right now. Now, you heard me talk about just those two so far, Jonathan. And to me, the one about unions is so important. And I think Americans are finally getting back to understanding why unions meant so much in the earlier years. What do you think?
I can't disagree with that. I think things go in cycles. They appear to go in cycles the longer we go. So I'm trying to think of, was it 100 years ago? Maybe a little bit more than 100, maybe closer to 1900, when you had a real big wave. I think the first big wave in this country of unionization, of trying to get rid of child labor and abusing child labor, you know, having child labor laws introduced on the books and stuff like that. And so
wow, I didn't realize that it went back that far. In fact, here I'm looking at the Library of Congress, Prints and Photographs Division. The National Labor Union was founded on August 20th of 1866.
Yeah,
in Baltimore, Maryland. Well done, Jonathan.
Yeah,
it went back that far.
It's been a long time, and I just go back to maybe it was the 1890s when you talk about the newspapers and William Randolph Hearst and yellow journalism, and then the unionization to try to make better working conditions. But, you know, right, factories have been dealing with this for decades and decades and decades. And so we did kind of lose that a bit.
Oh, not just a bit. It was a huge waste. Oh, goodness.
My dad has been a union member. Gosh, I'm trying to think back. 50 years? Not quite, yeah. 50. He's been in unions close to 50 years.
I mean, come on, it's 2023 now. I got a feeling 50 is at least what it is, depending on when he joined. But my father was a grievance man for the union, so
no,
our
I'm just taking it back to when he graduated from high school, because this was his 50-year graduation from high school. Yes, this year was 50 years since he graduated from high school, so it's a little bit later than that. So he hasn't been in unions 50 years, but it's closing in on that. And he's still active. He still goes to the union halls and goes to meetings and helps out and does all. There was a big push for unions, I think, back in the 70s and 80s. And I think it faded away in the 90s. And now you're seeing that there's more of an emphasis on it with Starbucks, with Amazon. I can't remember. Has Walmart talked about it? I thought Walmart had talked about maybe people unionizing.
Really?
I thought so.
I bet that was a short conversation.
I'll check on that.
We should look that up. Check it up. Check and see if they have done a union before. I don't know. Because, you know, they are a bank as well, so they should be able to do it. I will say this, though. When it comes to reaching nearly 7,000 members and unionizing close to 300 stores, that is a big deal. But we need so much more. I remember when my father was a grievance man, 72% of Americans were in unions. It was remarkable. We learned so much about unions from our dad. And my mother was a teacher as well. So I hope that it will get stronger. We need way more people than 7,000 members to join again. And I think we will finally be able to get past some of these terrible amounts of money, you know, going to people that are working so hard, and it's never enough. When you've got to pay for an apartment, you know, or find some place to pay for, you know, put the money down. You don't hear $500 often, right? In Minneapolis alone, you're probably going to hear more like $1,500, $1,300 and up. So, I don't know. Number three, despite assaults on our elections, people fought back and gained some notable wins. That was remarkable to witness. It seemed as though we might lose, right? That our rights would be taken away from us, that they would taint, you know, some of what was happening. And it all worked out. And I'm so grateful that it did. It says voters deliver victories for progressives in districts across the country, including in Texas, Illinois, Michigan, Florida, Hawaii, California, Pennsylvania, and Vermont. And Democrats kept control of the U.S. Senate. Young people showed up at the polls in record numbers. Thank goodness, thanks to every one of you that are listening. Thank you for doing what you did. One out of eight voters in the midterms was under the age of 30. Abortion rights won in states where it was on the ballot, like California, Michigan, and Vermont. And in the red state of Kentucky, voters rejected a proposed amendment to the state constitution that would have declared no right to an abortion. Another plus, every election denier running to oversee state elections actually lost their bid. I didn't realize it was every one of them that lost their bid. So just to read these things of what has happened in 2022 is remarkable. How about number four? Peace came to Ethiopia. Okay, when I first read this, I thought, what? Okay, here it goes. After a devastating two-year civil war that has left hundreds of thousands dead and millions displaced and facing starvation, the federal government of Ethiopia and the Tigray People's Liberation Front signed a peace treaty on November 2nd, 2022. The surprise deal came out of peace talks convened by the African Union. So far, the fighting has ceased, and both parties vowed that they are determined to make the peace deal last. Now, I don't know about you, Jonathan. When it comes to making peace, I'm all about that. If there's something I can do to, you know, to help make that happen, I would. Because, honestly, if we don't have peace, what do we have? Do you have any that you want to mention?
Anything from the last year? There's been so much.
So much.
Oh, sorry.
How about this? Was that a hiccup?
Yes,
oh my
it was.
God, that was adorable. That was adorable.
I'm trying to talk a little bit less because I got a little bit of the hiccups earlier while I was eating, and they went away for a minute. And now they're trying to come back. So anyway, your talk about election denialism and everything, just going back to the politics of the year and from the January 6th committee to the midterm elections to Lisa Brittany Griner, mm-hmm. And her situation in Russia, and just there's a lot that's been filtered through this year's cycle, this past year's cycle of political news, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting to think about it and just to live through some of those moments again. It's like I said, it's exhausting.
Well, number six, it says Indigenous and Global South voices were finally heard at the latest United Nations Climate Summit, COP27. It says, thanks to the relentless work of Indigenous peoples and organizers from Global South, marginalized communities not only got into COP27 this year, but their voices were finally heard, and historic loss and damage fund was established to help vulnerable countries cope with the destruction impacts of climate change. Now, I would place us right there in as one of the countries that have to deal with this, because here in America, we've had so many challenges going back and forth about climate change. Is it real? Is it not real? And if people can't see it today, the first day of January 2023, how do we help them see it? You were a meteorologist. You know.
Well, I think in this, I guess I'm trying to figure out what you mean by our role in it. Do you think we're one of the victims, quote unquote, or one of the perpetrators, quote unquote?
Both. I think we definitely cause some major problems. You know, whenever the leadership changes, everything changes. And depending on who was leading our country, a whole lot changed from 4 years to 4 years to 4 years. It's very frustrating. And climate change is getting worse. We can see it now. If we can't see it, if people don't see it, help me understand what's wrong. Help me understand how they miss it. Look at New Orleans and so many others.
I think that's the reason we're one of the perpetrators. I actually don't think we're a victim in this situation, because we have the means, the knowledge, the wherewithal to help out, to do something about it. And we haven't gone far enough. And I put myself squarely on that path of not having gone far enough myself. And so I think that's why we're the countries of Western Europe, these countries, you know, I think Japan has done a better job than most other places. But a lot of these countries with wealth have the means to help out, to help the infrastructure of the countries that don't. And we don't do enough. And that's why I think we're one of the perpetrators of it. I think those countries were looking at us specifically. I mean, they may have England and Germany and France and Italy and Japan and maybe a little bit of, maybe Brazil as an offshoot. But I think they're looking at us as number one and saying, what are you doing to help us? Why are you not helping us out?
Here's the thing. I wish we could have a character or characters act out from Reagan to today when it comes to presidents, and have them discuss, you know, have a moderator actually ask the questions, and that person dressed like Clinton or dressed like, you know, Bush. And we can go down the list, or President Obama. We can go down the list. The bottom line is, if we would have put their words in their mouth, because it's already been recorded, right, and find out what is it that they wanted to do and why didn't it happen or why did it happen, I think we would learn even more about climate change, because it's difficult to hear with the cacophony of noise that is constantly irritating, allowing people to shut down, turn off the radio, turn off the TV. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But if we don't hear it, we will experience it. We will.
Yeah.
And if people are not.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, if people are not feeling that, I don't understand how they miss out on that, but I'm hoping they'll come around, because they have to. Okay, here's another one. Some 200 countries, minus the United States and the Vatican, committed to stemming the loss of nature worldwide. stemming. I'm so sorry. Stemming the loss of nature worldwide.
I was about to say, we putting it in a sauna?
Oh, my goodness. I knew you would say that. See? Okay. It says, another critical environmental gathering, the COP15 Biodiversity Summit in Canada, reached a watershed agreement pledging to protect nearly one-third of Earth's land and oceans as a refuge for the planet's remaining wild plants and animals by 2030. They call it 30 by 30. Now, this agreement is critical to stemming the massive loss of biodiversity. About a million species are at risk of disappearing forever. But it will take constant grassroots pressure and significant resources from the wealthier countries to put this goal into practice. Now, all I want to do is make sure I find maybe three guests from three different nonprofits that are doing this work and find out if they believe it's working. I want to know that. I absolutely
Are you asking me in front of 50,000 watts of radio to try to set that up for the next week
absolutely.
Or two?
Okay. Absolutely.
We won't be able to do it next week because of Timberwolves.
No, we won't.
But
that's
I'll,
right.
I'll try to – since I have been maybe not shamed but nudged – into looking this up, I'll try to get on that.
Okay, let me read number 8. Congress passed the Respect for Marriage Act. Thank God. The U.S. Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage nationwide in 2015, but the court's June decision overturning a right to abortion at the federal level raised concerns that federal protections for same-sex marriage might be in jeopardy. The Respect for Marriage Act was passed to address this by guaranteeing federal recognition of any marriage between two individuals if the union was valid in the state where it was performed. It won't force states to issue same-sex marriage licenses should nationwide marriage equality be overturned by the Supreme Court, but it will extend equality under the law to all same-sex couples, no matter in which state they got married. It also protects interracial marriages. That in itself is shocking. Interracial marriages, it has to protect that because so many states still have it on their books that, you know, someone white can't marry someone black and vice versa. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. How do you feel about it?
It's long overdue and it's not far enough. Again, after Roe versus Wade was overturned, there were people out there that were talking that were nervous about the comments of one Justice Clarence Thomas talking about revisiting Obergefell, which dealt with gay marriage and other types of unions and other types of laws that aren't, well, I shouldn't, other types of precedents that were settled but were not law. And some people were saying, oh, there's nothing to worry about. This was always settled on abortion. This was always on Roe. This was always for Roe. All this other stuff is not, you're worrying about is nonsense. But people, there were enough people that took a hard look at that and took a hard look at those comments and said, no, hold on a second. We need to nip this in the bud right now. And so they went ahead and Congress got together on something that, could you imagine this passing 20 years ago? Could you imagine this passing 10 years ago?
It did pass at one time, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. Like I said, leadership matters. Whomever we vote for, it matters. If you go and vote, and we are working on our budget in the state of Minnesota, or the budget in the United States in Washington, D.C., bottom line is that it's not easy. You know, it's not easy, and we keep looking at it thinking, oh, we can do this, but we're not doing it. Would you say that January 6th is all done now? We have all the information is done? I would not say
no.
That.
No. Well, I don't think we'll ever get all the information.
I will get all the information.
No. There are always going to be little things that you truly never know about. I think I shouldn't say always. In most situations and most things, events like this, I don't think you'll ever know every true piece of evidence, every little detail. I don't think you'll ever get that far. So, no, we don't. I don't think we know everything about January 6th. I really don't.
Well, that's because they won't let it then. See, just like President JF Kennedy, right? The bottom line is that we don't know everything. We don't, and they won't release it. They keep putting 75 years on it. Got to wait another 75 years. Got to wait another 75 years. It's so ridiculous, and I think the people should know. I don't understand it. However, I will end this conversation with this. It says in the article, perhaps what we should be most thankful for in 2022 is that we are still alive. Even as the conflict raging in Ukraine has brought the United States and Russia to the very brink of nuclear war, the civilians of Ukraine, the soldiers on both sides, and people all around the world are suffering from this brutal conflict, which is, in President Biden's words, putting the world at risk of a nuclear Armageddon. Where there is life, there is hope. But if we hope to celebrate another holiday season, we had better find a way to bring all sides to the negotiating table. May peace prevail in 2023. And may I add, if you're going to bring all sides to the negotiating table, please negotiate. Don't waste our time. We'll be back in a moment. I just love this song. I do. I just start dancing. Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for sticking and staying with us tonight. This is the Mom and Mike.
This is a pretty appropriate song for New Year's Day. Stumbling out of bars, dancing on cars, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. I think this works.
I do not believe in getting drunk, period. I think I've been drunk twice in my life. Once was my first home. I was married, and it was that snow in 91, that October thing.
The Halloween blizzard.
Yes, that was awful. And the man I was married to, his cousin and her husband, were stranded in the middle of University Avenue. And so they walked to the house, and they stayed there that night, and we had such a great time, and we drank way too much wine. I didn't drink anything stronger than wine. And to this day, I don't do wine much at all. but I'll
wine
tell you,
can
I didn't
get you
like
there.
It.
Oh, wine can definitely get you there.
Yeah, yeah, that's weird. Oh, by the way, speaking of wine, I was at an event, and I wanted to donate and, you know, help them out, and I bought three bottles of wine. It only cost me like $65. And two of the bottles, I gave one of the bottles away. The two bottles were left in my trunk, which I totally forgot about because I don't drink wine hardly ever. And I'm sitting there, and I thought, oh, I opened the back of the, I opened the trunk, and I see these two bottles, and now they're open, right? They don't have the cork in it anymore. And I pull it out. It's all frozen in the bottle. Thank goodness. I mean, there was no residue inside of this, you know,
your trunk didn't smell like Pinot Noir.
No, it did not. No, or Merlot or whatever.
Or Pinot and Grigio or whatever.
No, I don't do white wine for sure. So here's the thing.
Oh,
I didn't know what to do. What?
Oh.
What?
Wait. You're like, I don't drink wine anymore. I don't drink a lot of wine. But then you're like, no, I don't do white wine. I do.
Oh, I can't. It affects my voice. Adversely affects my voice.
You have an allergy to white wine?
I do. I am assuming it's an allergy. It's the weirdest thing. I lose my voice when I drink white wine.
Interesting.
So when we were celebrating, Javita and I and a friend of ours, a dear friend, we were, celebrating the new year coming in, and we're watching television, and all of a sudden she says, oh, let's have a little bit of champagne. I was like, no, not for me, but I can have some juice. And my daughter found this non-alcoholic juice in a beautiful bottle. It's so interesting. I've never seen anything like it. And you're talking about tasty. You don't need wine if you're going to have that. I'll find out the name of it, and we'll talk about it next Sunday, possibly. How about that?
You're not talking about like Martinelli's, are you? That sparkling cider?
No. This wasn't sparkling at all. But it was delicious. I had a little bit of it. I said, I got to call my daughter. She doesn't drink alcohol. And I just thought, yeah, this is wherever you got this from. I want to know more about it. But here's what I want to do is go back to the two bottles of wine that popped in the trunk. I took it out, and it was frozen. The wine was frozen inside. So then I started trying to shake it into the snow, and I forgot it was red wine. It looked like there was blood on the floor. I mean, just blood everywhere.
What?
And it
what?
Just, yeah, it did. It what looked like
you,
that.
What are you doing trying to shake
because
wine
I thought,
out the bottle?
I thought, look, I didn't think about it, okay?
Oh, goodness.
I didn't think about it. So what did I do? I turned it upside down, and I just sat it in the in the snow. And finally, I went in the house and I sat down. I went, no, that's not a good idea. So I went back outside and I put it in the trash, then recycling, right? I got as much of it out of there as possible.
I can see the neighbors.
It's so, oh my God.
I can see the neighbors. Man,
no.
She's doing those animal rituals again.
No.
She's sacrificing.
I can't believe you said that.
She's sacrificing.
You know, people
those
really
goats
do believe in that. Don't talk about that. That's somebody's sacred. That's somebody's sacred. I can't believe you said that. Oh, and by the way, so it looked like there was blood on the snow. I am not kidding
this
you. So
is
then
why
I thought,
I said what I said.
I said, oh, I should go inside and get a box or something and just, you know, pick all of that up. And then I thought, no. Other people, can you imagine the neighbors seeing me trying to remove snow that looks like it has blood on it? So I'm like, I'm just going to leave it here. I'm going to stick these two bottles in the snow and they'll figure it out, right?
I'm calling Minneapolis police. Minneapolis police. Hey, this is so and so at you know where. She's
You're
at
terrible.
It again. She's at it again. I swear. I don't know what it is with winter and all this red stuff on the snow, but she's at it again. You need to come help her.
Are you done?
No. For something like this, no.
It's embarrassing. I must say, I could not believe that it had burst in my trunk, which was full of clothes that go to the cleaners, clothes that I'm giving away, right? All these bags.
Well,
and I thought, oh, my God, it didn't get on anything.
Yeah,
thank goodness.
First
my
of
books.
All, you're fortunate that it didn't. Well, I could see why it didn't, because it has to get to a solid state to get to that. But it's like you don't want to leave bottles of water in the car, in the trunk, in these type of conditions and weather that's below zero and all of that, because
what size water are we talking? A gallon? I would never leave a gallon of water.
No. I meant like if you have like a
bottle water.
Not a case. Well, I guess you'd like call it a case of like bottles of water.
Uh-huh.
You don't really want to leave it in there because it freezes over, becomes ice. Some people do, but some people just forget about them. But it's that same. When you see those bottles, they're not usually in the same shape. They're usually kind of bloated.
No, well, yeah, that was a plastic, of course. So
yeah,
if it unthawed, I wouldn't drink it
But think about it this way.
It's toxic.
So the water expands in the bottle, in the plastic mm-hmm. bottle, and expands the bottle. So glass is more
rigid. Why
are we
talking about plastic? I am talking about wine bottles.
Yes,
glass,
yes. I'm getting wine bottles. I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So
all right.
so if this would expand a plastic bottle and glass is rigid, then if that liquid is still going to expand when it becomes a solid, where does that go? It has to escape somewhere because that glass is rigid. Either breaks the glass, or if the glass is thick enough, it pushes out the cork.
You know a lot about wine.
No. I don't think it's a wine thing. I think it's a physics thing.
Oh, you're a physics. Okay.
Yeah, when liquid expands, you know, becomes solid and expands,
yes, sir.
It's uh-huh. got to go somewhere. So
right.
that when it expanded, it probably popped the cork out.
Did you take more physics classes in college?
I had to.
Wow, that's awesome, because you, of course, were becoming a meteorologist.
Yes, a career path or a career that I like to call, an industry that I call physics on steroids.
Hey, now.
Yes.
Well, I'm happy for you. No, I'm seriously, I'm happy for you. That's awesome. I'm terrified of physics. You know, someone come to me and say, hey, are you studying I'm scared. Yeah,
you can't even say the word.
It physically
shuts the brain down for a second and then reboots it, so I can't say that word again.
Okay.
You're the one that can't say
the
word. I'm just trying to relay it.
Okay, I have to ask you this: the best music of 2022. So I went to the New Yorker, right, and they're saying people like Rosalia, Beach House. and Takischa, Beyonce, and other standout musicians and taste makers, which I don't know what that is about. But here's the first paragraph. I've never been particularly strategic about listening to new music. I tend to pursue it in arbitrary bursts or to let it float into my life in whichever way it can. I'm not even sure I could impose order over my music consumption if I tried, though, given how discombobulated things are out there. Albums are less relevant than ever, but stubbornly remain the primary vehicle for new releases. Major new tracks can evaporate in a few days' time, while songs that are three decades old can find new life from a TikTok trend or a scene in a television show. And so it would be disingenuous for me to compile a comprehensive or ranked list for the best albums of songs of the year. Below is my attempt at bringing together the songs, albums, trends, and moments in music that stuck with me in 2022 in no particular order. Okay, here's the first one. Beyonce, America Has a Problem. That's the name of the song. You ever heard of that?
I haven't, no.
Me either. So I'm trying to figure out what was that? Let me see. Hotel Lobby by Quavo and Takeoff. Who are they?
Quavo is...
Oh, Quavo.
Quavo's...
Isn't that a drink? Isn't that an alcoholic drink, Quavo? No. Is that a brand?
That's Quervo.
Is it a brand?
That's Jose Quervo, not Quavo.
Oh, Quervo. Don't laugh at me. It's coming back at you. You're going to get old.
I'm just saying... You're giving me an idea. I might need some tequila after tonight. Quavo is, if I'm correct, a part of the group Migos.
Yes.
And Migos.
It's an Atlanta rap trio, Migos brand.
Yes. Don't come to me when it comes to the newest trends in music and the hippest people and the all that stuff.
Did you think I was coming to you about that?
We're the only ones talking right now. I didn't know if you were reaching out to someone in the cosmos and just trying to do some telepathy and say, call in now so we can talk about today's music.
Oh, my goodness. Look, I am so way behind. I hear songs that I love, and I just go, oh, my gosh, that was just fantastic, right? And I love using my Shazam in, like, the grocery stores and department stores, and I just love it because you can start to find music that is just amazing. So I'm enjoying that part of it.
Never use Shazam. I guess because when I'm out, I'm not... For the most part, I'm not thinking about, oh, what song is this? What do I need to look up about it? That's why I have my Spotify and my Amazon Music. If I started listening to some of the stuff that was hip today, trendy today, new today, popular, then it would tailor some lists for me, some playlists to find other artists that were similar to it, but I'm just not down. Just not down with it.
There's an artist called Gold Ford, and it's just one word. Gold Ford.
Yeah. I think I have Gold Ford.
You do? Which song?
I think we've played Gold Ford. Hold on a second.
Really?
Let me look in my library here in our system. I think I have we play Gold Ford.
Wow.
If I'm thinking of the same artist. Yeah. What songs are you
Walk
are they
with
mentioning?
Me. Walk With Me is one of them.
Walk With Me. I don't think I have that here on the list, but I think I do have that. I got one of the albums from a guy called Goldford.
Yeah, there you go. You got it from him?
Well, not from him, but I purchased an album of an artist named Goldford. If it's the same person, the same outfit, then yes, we play this.
How about that? Okay, we got to go soon, but I want to ask you this question because you love music. I am curious to know why so many bands break up way too soon. What happens? What?
It's funny you mentioned that because while 60 Minutes was on, I turned up the volume on one of the TVs here. CNN did a retrospective movie tonight on Dionne Warwick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And surrounding that movie, they did that documentary film. They did, they've been doing their retrospectives from the past decades. So they did the one from the 70s, the one from the 80s. They're, right now, they're just finishing up the one from the 90s. Mm-hmm. On and all these music episodes, so how music changed the artists of the decades and stuff like that. And so they had the 70s one at the front of it at 6 o'clock, and I turned it up, and at the beginning of it they talk about the death of Jimi Hendrix, the death of Janis Joplin, the death of Jim Morrison, about, you know, losing this innocence that was the drug culture of the late 60s. And then they also talk about the Beatles breaking up. And so Tom Hanks is one of the executive producers on this. He was doing a little snippet on the Beatles and their breakup. And he said, and they had the interview on the Dick Cavett show between Dick Cavett, John Lennon, and Yoko Ono. And Dick Cavett was talking to Yoko Ono about, you know, people have said you've broke up the Beatles, and John Lennon defended her. And so they have Tom Hanks come on. He said, Yoko Ono didn't break up the Beatles. Time broke up the Beatles. Money broke up the Beatles. Business broke up the Beatles. You know, people that wanted to do their own thing broke up the Beatles. That's the simplest way to put it. It doesn't have a specific timeline, but usually that's the case. I think it's rarer to see people and groups stay together for 15, 20, 30 years than it is for people to splinter off and do their own solo things.
I would say the industry makes that happen, because the industry insists.
Business and money. Yes.
On, yeah, they just pick the one person in the group that shines the most, and they just remove them from the family group or remove them from whatever group they're a part of and set them aside. And then they go to have all these albums recorded by them, and it leaves the rest of the band away from them. It's just terrible. It's like they break up the band. I don't understand that. I guess it's cheaper for them to deal with one person.
Well,
and make them superstars. I mean, we could talk about the Supremes. Diana Ross, was plucked from that group. I mean, we can go down to Beyonce when it was
Destiny's Child.
Beyonce was plucked, you know? It goes on and on.
I don't know whether it's necessarily, and we will have to break after this, I don't know whether it's necessarily plucked from, or it's just people have ambition to do other things on their own. I think it's a mix. I don't think it's more, the industry is going to choose you to be the golden child. I think there are a lot of people out there that think, one year I love doing this with my homies. We love doing this, but then I have bigger aspirations. Their ego plays a lot into it.
Did you say homies?
Yeah. I can say homies.
Oh, I didn't say you couldn't.
Yeah.
I was just surprised to hear the homies. Well, how about that?
It happens.
How about that? Okay. Well, first of all, it's been a pleasure being on with you of 2023.
We'll break and we'll come back real quick.
Okay, let's do it. Is that him? Goldford?
This is Goldford. This is one of his...
How about that?
Yeah.
It is now 10:57. My goodness, I've had a great time in this hour. I missed Michael, of course, but oh, how we had a great time when he was here visiting me and the whole family. We just had a great time together. So I look forward to him coming on next Sunday, and I look forward to being with you again. Not next Sunday. I'm so sorry. We have a game next week, right, Jonathan?
We have a game. We will be on for the second half of the show. The game is a 6 o'clock game, so we will be on for Center Stage and the Mom and Michael Hour, unless the game goes long.
Exactly. So look for us next Sunday about 9 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. And thank you so much for sticking and staying with us, and for really caring about me when I see you in the grocery stores and all sorts of places. You always encourage me, and I can't do what I do here without you. So thanks to everyone who really care, and you thank you for your prayers even. Jonathan, it's been a pleasure. Good night to you. Take care of yourself. Be safe. Is that him? Goldford?
This is Goldford. This is one of his...
How about that?
Yeah.
It is now 10:57. My goodness, I've had a great time in this hour. I missed Michael, of course, but oh, how we had a great time when he was here visiting me and the whole family. We just had a great time together. So I look forward to him coming on next Sunday, and I look forward to being with you again. Not next Sunday. I'm so sorry. We have a game next week, right, Jonathan?
We have a game. We will be on for the second half of the show. The game is a 6 o'clock game, so we will be on for Center Stage and the Mom and Michael Hour unless the game goes long.
Exactly. So look for us next Sunday about 9 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. And thank you so much for sticking and staying with us and for really caring about me when I see you in the grocery stores and all sorts of places. You always encourage me, and I can't do what I do here without you. So thanks to everyone who really care, and you thank you for your prayers even. Jonathan, it's been a pleasure. Good night to you. Take care of yourself. Be safe.